Science Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Science Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is February 22nd, 2018. The world is in turmoil. Most of us don't realize that, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please, if you haven't made this choice yet to accept Yeshua in your life, make this choice tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. And an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Okay, now you can always find updates with the breaking news, Wichita Mission Church, radio program archives, contact information, all this at our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. Now, remember, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally. It's also live on YouTube right now, and we do put it in the new... Anyway, forget about that. Anyway, right now it's live on YouTube and some FM stations, so please pray about supporting airtime. Airtime isn't free, and as you know, our program, we personally do not sell anything, this ministry, so we're only on the air due to your kind donations. Anyway, let's thank our listener base that is worldwide. In places like Oslo, Norway, Dublin, we'll call it Dublin, Ireland, because I don't know why some of these places have two or three names in front of it, you know, like it was always Dublin, Ireland, but now it's Dublin, Ireland, Dublin, C-O dot F-I-N-G-A-L, Ireland, who knows, Dublin, how you doing? Sofia, Bulgaria, Tehran, Iran. Wonder who's listening over there. Lagos, Nigeria. Now, we really need to pray for Nigeria. It looks like there's a Christian purge going on. And if there's anybody listening that knows anything important on this, I would like to talk to someone about this on radio. Now, in fact, if you're on another country other than the USA, we can still contact you if you... So get in touch if you have something important. Preferably send me an email, and we'll get back to it. And, yeah, I'd love to have you on. And also, there's a fellow that's in France that wanted to speak with me that sent me some information about the Islamic invasion. No, it was Italy. And I really wish that you would send me that information again. Somehow it got deleted, and I need it, and I'm trying to get up a program about it. Okay, anyway. Italy, resend the information. Okay, and we'll, of course, cities in the good old United States that we want to thank are Fort Worth, Texas this week, Kansas City, Missouri, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, Portland, Oregon, San Diego, California, and, of course, as well as Wichita, Kansas, which remains the largest group of listeners to our radio programs, at least when they podcast later on tonight. And also, folks, please follow and share us on Twitter at Pastor Dan Catlin at Brant 77. Now, prayer, and we'll bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will, not ours, Father. And please give everyone out there ears in which to hear the truth, Father. Lift the veil from their eyes and their ears and their heart, Father. So please, Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, you know, about every time you hear a prophecy teacher speak, I mean, or even just plain normal Christians, you know, they say, well, you know, it's going to be as in the days of Noah. And then they rattle it off as so many different things. You know, and that's when they're trying to explain the time of the end. I don't blame them. That is a very good point. So what was going on with Noah in that day? Some insist that it, some insight to this is given to us by a book written long ago and brought up in the Bible. It's called the Book of Enoch. In that book, there are beings called the Watchers. Well, who are they? Do we need to know who they are? Are they important to us today at this time of the end? Because we are in that generation before Yeshua's glorious return, which puts us right in the time of the end. Our guest tonight has written 7 books so far. The Watchers, Fallen Angels, Casting Out Demons, Revelation, Know the End, Genesis, Secrets Revealed, Marriage, A Covenant. And the book we were speaking about tonight, we're going to be talking about, I bet you can guess, probably we're going to be going through the Watchers, Fallen Angels, and Demons, but, you know, we're going to be talking about the Watchers. Anyway, his name is Dr. C.K. Quarterman, and he attended Gloryland Bible College. He earned a B.T.H., a M.T.H., and he holds a Doctor of Divinity degree. He founded End Times Ministry and is a frequent speaker on Christian and secular radio programs across America. Bible colleges are using, some Bible colleges are using his books in their curriculum, Mr. Quarterman says. He has a strong internet presence, which opens many speaking opportunities, including, like we said, at the Bible colleges. So welcome now, Dr. Quarterman. Are you there with me, brother?
I am. Hello, Dan.
Well, how are you doing today? Or rather, here's my question. How's the weather where you're at, man? We have nothing but ice out there.
Now we're deep in the south here. Sunshine all day.
Sunshine all day. I don't know. Well, I want to talk to you, but I don't know if I want to talk to you. Joke, joke, you know. I slip, slide every time I step out the door. So you heard my lead-in. You know, people reference that statement all the time. They say, what will it be as in the days of Noah? Well, so apparently, and of course we both know, there's something going on in the times of Noah. I mentioned the Book of Enoch called them Watchers. So we'll talk, let's start there and then we'll come up to the present and see where we're at.
The Book of Enoch is a historical book that has been known in the early church and throughout most of antiquity. There is some debate about its date or its origin. But it's obvious that there was a Book of Enoch. It was circulated in the early church. And I'm pretty confident it's the Book of Enoch that we have today. And one of the things that makes me confident of that, and I'm not holding it on the same level as Scripture. So let me sort of define what I'm saying. If a person were go to a library and go to the history section of the library, he would expect that those books would be accurate, that they would be have been written by an observer of those times. And we don't think anything about that when we pull up, you know, the wars of Caesar, Napoleon's conquest and so forth. You know, we read through that, we accept what we read. Well, the Book of Enoch is no different. Now, when you come to Scripture and it says that every word of it is breathed of the breath of God, that's a whole different level. So we're not putting the Book of Enoch on that level. What we're doing is just acknowledging historically that it was in the early church. It was floated among the churches. It was not canonized when the other scriptures were, for whatever reason. There's a debate and possibly a very good reason that it wasn't canonized. is because it gives actually a little bit of a drama and insight as to what was really going on during the days of Noah. And it's for that very well, for that reason, that it may not have been canonized. But
right.
It in no way goes against anything that's said in Scripture.
Amen.
If we're told, as in the days of Noah, the quote that you mentioned that comes out of Matthew, the 26th chapter, that these things, when Christ returns, will be like those days. Now, what we usually do when we read that verse is we sort of skip over it and keep reading. We don't really go back to Genesis and read about what was going on in the days of Noah. Somehow we sort of think we know that. Well, the truth
right.
is we don't. In the
right.
sixth chapter of the book of Genesis, it talks about something that took place between the children of men, of Adam, and the angels of God. Actually, did I say that? Or yes, I did say that. It translates
yeah.
in the King James as sons of God. In the Septuagint, it translates as angels of God.
Yeah,
interesting
amen.
Translation.
Just a moment. You know, there's a Bible called it's a Tanakh, and it's called the JPS, and it's the Tanakh. That's of course a Hebrew Bible,
the Jewish Hebrew Bible, yeah.
Right, and the particular copy that my wife bought and gave to me, which I love it to death, says it called instead of sons of God, it calls them divine beings. And so, we're getting a pretty clear picture of that's accurate. Go ahead, back to you.
Well, it's actually sort of the elephant in the room. A lot of what I'm talking about here in churches, it's sort of like the elephant in the room. We don't talk about it. We overlook it. We don't really deal with it. There are three theories that float about who these sons of God were. But where the actual defining part of it is whoever these sons of God are, when they mated with the daughters of Adam, it created giants, King James Version, or Nephilim. So it was something that was unnatural. One theory says that it was magistrates, people of power. Well, when people who are in power have children, they're never unusual. They're not Nephilim. They're not giants.
Right.
When children who are sinful, for instance, the other idea is the line of Seth. When the Jews intermarried with other races they were not supposed to intermarry with, they did not produce giants. There was nothing unusual about their children. But in this verse, the only thing that makes sense is that these were divine beings. These were angels. Now, not necessarily good angels, but angels who were not good. We could say fallen angels. They were known in antiquity as watchers, angels
right.
who had been given the service of watching over mankind.
Right.
And the Book of Enoch gives a very interesting story as to how all this happened, and that they came down about Harmon. They saw, of course, the Bible says this, they saw women. They lusted after the beauty of these women. And this is what started the whole episode. Well, what's interesting, if you come back up to the New Testament, the Apostle Paul says, because of the angels, women should wear head coverings. Just something very interesting that sort of goes along with this. Why would the Apostle Paul mention such a thing? Head coverings for women. Well, it sort of goes back to the idea that angels sinned because of women's beauty. just a side trip there. But in the sixth chapter, you find out that in the days of Noah, the fallen angels were interbreeding with the daughters of Adam. And we could look a little farther into the Hebrew words and so forth that are there, but you would come to the same conclusion as to what I'm just telling you here, and that these were Nephilim. Now,
yeah, absolutely. Interesting. I've looked up the words, and you know, many times, because you know, when I first started off, I went across, you know, the elaborate, before really looking up the words, I went and looked what other people were saying, and they weren't really looking up the words, but they were going through, well, where else is the sons of God mentioned and everything, and trying to explain it out that way, and while it makes sense that the Bible explains itself, when I looked up the words, I said, wow, that's just easier just to look up the words, because the words indeed do point to this, as does, and there's a backup book that kind of goes along with Enoch. And do you know anything about the Book of Jasher?
I've heard of it, yes. I've read it, yes.
Yeah, and the Book of Jasher goes along with it too. So we it's also a historical book, and I'm telling the folks because you already know, but it's also a historical book, and it's as, like you say, if there wasn't these historical books back then I believe something would be wrong, because just like you say, in our generation, we can go back and pull up, you know, things that George Washington wrote about history and so on and so forth. So there should be absolutely something else written about the Bible, would there not, back to you?
Right. You know, we could look at the Hebrew of what's being said there and so forth, but, you know, it still comes out very plainly to be that they're fallen angels, divine beings, they intermarry with women, and they produce giants or Nephilim.
Right. Well, with that being the pretext, then what's going to happen today? Because it says, as in the days of Noah, would be like it today. I'll let you go there.
Right. Right. And let me bring a little further into this. When it comes down and you read a few more verses in the sixth chapter and continue to read, you'll find that it mentions that Noah was perfect in all of his generations. Now, that is actually sort of code, if you would, for saying that his genes were all human. They were not intermingled with any fallen angels. Well, what took place prior to the flood was there was a lot of intermingling. Giants, of course, were the direct product of the fallen angels and the women, but they were actually able to produce children themselves, which we know as the Eloid, which is another historical word that comes out of the text of Enoch. And of course, the Eloid were able to have the Elohim. So what took place was an intermingling with humanity, so much so that God had to destroy the world. And these angels were actually nasty beings. They pretty much intermingled, as you read those verses, with everything.
Yeah.
Now, let's bring this up. If this was an isolated event that took place in Genesis, we would need to know. If it's not, we would need to know. Well, you come up to Israel's invasion of Canaan, and you'll find out, I think it's the 33rd chapter of Numbers, that the spies go forward to spy out the lion, calf, and so forth, and they come back, and the spies tell them that we're but grasshoppers in their sight. And, you know, they're describing the inhabitants of the land. They were tall. And oftentimes people at this point relate to Goliath. But if you actually read when Goliath is actually introduced, he's introduced as a son of a giant. Not a giant, but a son of a giant, which again gives credence to Enoch's book that says that the Nephilim were able to actually produce children as well. So we see in Goliath this intermingling of the species. And this is something that God is not in favor of whatsoever. And, of course, we know Israel's told to wipe all of these out and eventually does wipe them out. But we're told in the book of Revelation is a statement that in the end of times that the devil is kicked out unto earth. And it says that he's furious. And what I understand that to mean is that right now the devil is in a spiritual realm, probably able to go back and forth to heaven like it mentions in Job, which is one of those places where the sons of God is translated as angels. I'm backing up the use of that in Genesis, the sixth chapter.
Right.
And anyway, he's kicked out of heaven and falls to the earth.
We're going to have to hold that thought because we are coming up on break. What website would you like to give out to the folks today?
FallenAngelsToday.com.
Fallen Angels Today. Okay, folks, I'm going to send a link to it over to the pastor's page at over at prophecyhour.com, so you can look out there, so it'll be there for you. And hey, go look it up, and we'll be back with a lot more in 3 minutes.
Dan will be right back.
This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Ranch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. I was just here doing the numbers, you know, and I've been doing talk radio since 2002, and then I've been on this station since 2004. So we've been around a very long time, and, you know, I believe that we give you really good information. In fact, you know what, folks, most of all of those programs, as we did one program a week for a long time and then two programs a week, are archived over at our podcast site, which, by the way, I'm looking for somebody that can knows how to work on websites. I have one I need fixed. I'm just not good with that, you know. Anyway, but so I've been on radio a long time bringing you really good information. We've been on top of things, and I couldn't even go over all the stories. It'd take a couple of programs to tell you all the things that we have broke news with that others copied about afterwards. But my point isn't to ring our bell. But my point is in a lot of you listeners have been listening to us a very long time, you know, I'm asking you to pray about supporting radio. And you folks that go, well, I'd rather support the Wichita Mission Church. Supporting radio is supporting the Wichita Mission Church because this is the number one place that we get donations for that. Right now, you know, we're kind of in a dead area, which we're always at when we come out of December. Anyway, during the Obama administration that came about, and we haven't got out of it yet. I expect to be out of it by mid-July, but we're still in that winter slump that came as we went through the holiday season. So we really do need your support, not only for radio, yes, and I'm trying to get people who are liking it. The program that I do with my wife, she'll be back next week. We want to put it on video, but we're asking you to pray about supporting radio, folks. And also pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. support us so we can care for the people that the Father sends us. You know, we get men, women, and children, and they're from all walks of life that come in looking for things. It isn't just homeless. It's also just poor people that are barely keeping a roof over their head. Again, I believe things are going to improve across the board, but even Yeshua said the poor will always be with you. So these people have had a bad break. They're coming to us for help. And no, they're not all drug addicts and alcoholics and people with problems. Just normal people like me and you. You know, if you check around, you'll find that most people don't even have $400 or $500 in savings if they lost their job or needed a car fix. Most people, let's say that, are only a few paychecks away from going homeless because they wouldn't be able to pay their rent. So pray about helping us. We get no help from any organized churches or government agencies. You know, people look at us like we're the weirdos down the street. We're those, that Messianic bunch, which people don't even, Kansas, don't even know what that means, mostly, down the block. And, you know, they care for them homeless and poor, and they're over there in the very worst part of town. And so, you know, it's really hard to get donations. But the Wichita Mission Church has been around. We are in our 19th year. We're going to get ready to start. Well, we're in our 18th year, coming up on starting our 19th year. So we did doing this consistently, and faith is what's carried us through. We minister to people in a part of town that most people don't even like to drive through in the daytime or especially after dark. So, but isn't that where the body of Messiah should be, is among sinners and where the people need the help? So we do need your help now to stay open and to stay on radio. Help us, because there are so many new faces that are coming in, women, men, and even children. So why do so many people come to us for help? Well, we don't have any set guidelines. You know, if you ask me why, well, I believe it's because of love. We give these folks a personal experience. You know, we treat people one-on-one, just like you asked me. Well, what do you do for them over there? Well, you know, I don't know. What is it that they need? Because that's what we talk about. Other than that, clothes closet. We have telephone they can use to call anywhere, counseling, Bibles, first aid, blah, 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 blah. You know, we try to supply their needs. And what do they need? They need what you need. So we are the last hope for so many. And, folks, all of us are responsible to care for one for another, as we are our brother's keepers. You know what kind of donations matters? Any kind of donation matters. I don't care if it's $10 a week, a month, or whatever. That will help someplace along the line. But, you know, the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart, of course. And so, again, if you don't wish to help with the poor, consider a donation for radio airtime. As folks, it's not free. You know, much as they'd like to just give me the airtime for free, this station can't afford it. So pray about it. Anyway, donations is what keeps us on the air. You can donate online or mail a check or money order, and you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. So, anyway, pray about it. And now today we're talking about, as in the day as it knows, what are the watchers? And we've got an expert on with us, and that's Dr. C.K. Quarterman. So are you still there with me, Dr. Quarterman?
I am.
All right. Well, you were making a point about the devil coming down to the earth, and as it speaks of in Revelation, so I guess we can pick back up there and go wherever you want to go.
Well, he does in the book of Revelation, and in order for this to happen, of course, God reaches, I guess, maybe his end of his rope, so to speak, with him and kicks him out. So the point being, though, that the devil knows this is coming. And so one of the things about the devil that is consistent is he always does the same thing. He doesn't really have any new plans. And the Apostle Paul, like I mentioned, when he said that women should wear a head covering because of the angels, sort of gives me the idea, because this invasion, so to speak, happened in Genesis, the sixth chapter, almost polluted the whole world. Later again, when the Israelis went into Canaan land, and the Apostle Paul evidently thought that it was possible in his time. So what I see here is the devil will start creating the situation to again intermingle with humanity. And what Christ referred to as the days of Noah, this is what he was referring to. Now, we don't like to talk about UFOs very much, and we usually typically think people who talk about UFOs are probably missing a screw somewhere. Well, what I'd like to say about that is where there's smoke, there's some fire somewhere. Now, do we know all about that fire? No. Do I think they're hidden caverns with UFO occupants locked up? I probably doubt it. But at the same time, I see, after reading cases and cases and cases of this UFO phenomenon, that it very much resembles an invasion of the physical realm by the spiritual. When you look at the abduction syndromes and so forth, what you see looks like some kind of a spiritual experience, something that's happened spiritually, so to speak. And so it makes sense that what's happening is we're being set up for the devil's actually coming into our realm and our presence. And of course, I mentioned this on the show last time. When he's kicked up onto the earth, he has to have some kind of cognito. I mean, you can't just exactly get kicked out on earth and say, "Oh, I'm the devil," and oops. You know, that's not going to happen. So my take is the way things are lining up and looking at the scripture as in the days of Noah is that there'll probably be a phenomenon which emphasizes aliens. And he'll put off his interactions in this realm as, quote, aliens, where, you know, another thing we could call these aliens are fallen angels and demonic beings. Of course, the world doesn't really understand that, isn't aware that there's even a bad spiritual realm out there. So what we see is in all of these case after case after case of abductions and so forth and alien implants, and I mean, we could go on and on and talk about all these things, talk about conspiracy theories, but I think where the genesis of all of it is the devil setting up the stage so that he can again intermingle with humanity, possibly creating some kind of hybrids. Just because giants were created in Genesis, the sixth chapter, you know, with all these thousands of years having passed, he may be able to create some other kind of hybrid, but some kind of interspecies type of thing. So we just need to be aware of that, and that may be partially what's going on with some of this UFO and abduction phenomenon. But what my prediction is we're going to see more and more of this leading up to Revelation's 12th chapter, when he's actually kicked out, shows up in the Big Bang as being aliens from a, quote, another universe, but they won't be. They'll be from the spiritual realm. And this is sort of what I see as in the days of Noah, is what he's given us insight to, is that this same thing is going to happen again. Just because it has a different color to it, and we use terms like aliens instead of sons of God, it's the same thing. And this is what he's leading us to understand, is that there'll be a lead up to all of this and a final, quote, another invasion into our reality of these fallen angels. And that's what I write about in the book, Fallen Angels and UFOs and so forth, and in The Watchers. But I give more of a historical background on who the Watchers were, and come on up and give the different theories of Genesis 6 chapter. And then I talk a little bit about what Peter wrote about. You know, Peter was aware and wrote about the fact that these fallen angels, well, how does he say? He uses the term, went after strange flesh.
Right.
And again, he's telling the story of Genesis 6 chapter. So it was in the minds of the apostles that this happened in Genesis and was going to happen again. And that's the warning of the book Fallen Angels that we talk about so much. The Watchers give more of a historical background and more guts to the story, so to speak. Back to you.
Right. Let me go with this a minute. You know, you, like I say, several of your books, all this is, you know, folks, you can't, let me address the folks and you'll hear what I'm going to say. You know, you can't, it's very hard to address the end times. I mean, you know, without talking, this is a major portion of it, and understanding Genesis 6 and what happened then, because, you know, these things, reoccurring things are happening, are going to happen, are happening, and I believe that's what aliens are. I believe it's interdimensional. I believe it's some kind of guise of the devil. I don't believe they're from other planets. But, you know, CK, when you wrote the book, The Watchers, Fallen Angels, Casting Out Demons, all these books, but they're all interrelated, and you need all this information, do you not, to really understand now and what's going on in just even general life. Back to you.
This is true. Like I said, we can see the lead up to it. That's what Christ was referring to in Matthew 26 chapters. It's a lead up. You know, you see small wars all over the world, and they just get to be bigger. You see small earthquakes, and they just get to be bigger and more frequent. Well, it's the same thing with this alien UFO phenomenon. Is you see small instances of it, and it's going to get bigger. And that's what we're seeing happen. I can't tell you right off the top of my head how many instances of UFO sightings there are, but it's in the thousands every year. There are many cases of abductions, which if you've read any real cases of abductions, you find out that it's really a spiritual battle. It's a war that goes on with these people. And if we're Christians and we have Jesus dwelling in our heart, we could absolutely stop the abduction phenomena by simply saying to these fallen angels to go in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
One of the things where I think we get deceived so much is we think we know what angels, fallen angels, look like. Well,
right.
You know, I'm just not sure that's true. I'm not sure that a fallen angel can't look pretty much like anything it wants to. And we're really not told enough about angels in the Bible really to make a firm decision on what an angel looks like. And then you run into this other possibility is that they have already created hybrids, and these are what actually show up. But the point is, they're all subject to the name of Jesus. But there's definitely something going on. It's definitely something that's been cooking up since about 1945, 48. And it's just getting to be bigger and bigger. And there's our grand finale coming.
Right.
And I do believe that the Bible talks about there's a deception that takes place. And this deception would fool even the staunchest believer. And I think this deception goes along with the unveiling of the Antichrist and so forth, which we talked about last time, being a Muslim. But this phenomenon of something that so shakes the foundation of people's belief that even steadfast Christians would tremble or lapse their faith because of it. And I think that's the grand finale that takes place here, where the devil shows up and claims to be aliens. We'll actually see them. And, you know, here again, what do they look like? What can they look like? Well, you know, I think that's all up for debate.
Yeah.
But absolutely. Obviously, I think...
I was just agreeing with you, but, you know, as far as what they look like, you know, we know that normal angels, you know, it says be careful that when you entertain strangers, because, you know, it might be an angel. The point being is, you know, I look at them, I think, like you are, that they can, you know, transform themselves into different, you know, shapes or bodies, so to speak. Of course, I really don't know. I'm not God, and he hadn't told me. Back to you.
Well, that's a very good point. You know, if they can mimic good angels, guardian angels can mimic people, I think it's very possible that fallen angels, you know, can be shapeshifters of a number of different looks, so to speak. So, again, I think this falling away will take place when the devil is thrown out into the physical realm here and out. You know, and we also tend to think that the devil's going to show up without technology. Well, we find out from the book of Enoch, because it just elaborates a little bit more on this Genesis, the sixth chapter, where it talks about these fallen angels taught mankind the arts of war, herbs and so forth from the ground, medicines, astrology and so forth. So what I expect is that these fallen angels will show up with craft, which will be some form of metal.
Right.
You know, why we think angels in the spiritual realm don't have those things, I don't know. I think we just limit our thought processes. But truly, you know, they'll show up on the White House lawn. They'll be metal. And there won't be any denying that they're from somewhere. Now, where they'll be from, only the Bible gives us insight. They'll say it's from somewhere else.
Of course.
But this will so shake the consciousness of the world. And I think probably there is some fire even there with this Roswell incident. And I have no doubt that we've probably been in touch with some of these. Because I see them laying a foundation all along through the years to a final exposure. You know, if you were the devil, that's what you'd be doing. You'd work a plan. And I think he's working the plan.
Well, and he's had an incredible amount of, you know, to go with that. Yeah, of course a plan. I mean, come on, this battle's been going on forever, so to speak, from our recollection, and so why wouldn't he have a plan? But, you know, that's striking that. And, you know, right now we're seeing the government being, you know, trying to be at least more open about these things, and we're seeing some more things come out. I agree with you. I think that just may possibly be the way that this is all pulled off, you know. Because he sure ain't going to show up and say, okay, I'm the devil and these are all my henchmen. Back to you. You know, I mean.
No, it's just very immature for us to think that he's going to do that. What I find is that most people have just never thought through all of this. And when you present it to them, they think it's the most outlandish thing they've ever heard, but they don't have any alternative theories. They've never thought through it. And this is one of the things I find in, I don't know what percentage of Christians, but it's pretty high, that we don't sit down and really think these things through. And we go by a lot of times what somebody says, and we just breeze over these things. You know, a lot of churches, not so much on the East Coast or the South where I'm at, but on the West Coast, But there is a lot of a more of an increase of this UFO phenomenon. You know, it's like in the churches, you know, it's something like an elephant in the room. We all know about it. We hear about it, read about it, but we ain't going to talk about it. You know, because anybody who talks about it is automatically limited as crazy. Well, I don't think that's what it is. I think we as Christians are bound by what we read and understand to warn others. And, you know, if they think we're crazy, that's all right. But when this does happen, maybe they'll remember and maybe they won't fall.
Well, amen. Listen to this real quick. You know, I looked up polls, just a National Geographic in 2012 it says that 77% of Americans think that aliens have visited Earth. So why wouldn't they have used it? I mean, that would be a grand deception, and it sounds like they've already got a lot of people convinced. Back to you.
This is true. And in a lot of polls we could cite, and we could talk a little bit more about abductions and how, scumming the mind is, you know, even in the middle of New York City and skyscrapers, there are cases of abductions. Well, do I really think a UFO comes up and parks on top of a skyscraper and beams somebody up? No, I don't think that. Do I think fallen angels show up in their bedrooms and they think they're taken somewhere? Yes. And this is part of the deception that takes place, is that some of this, there's no actual physical movement, but there is something going on in the spiritual realm, and they're attacked. But there are other cases where these things show up on radar. They leave burn marks on the ground. They're physical, material properties to what is going on. So one of the things you can take away from this is that UFOs can appear, be tracked on radar, leave physical markings, and disappear back into the spiritual realm. And the way I read this is basically what will happen around the 12th chapter of Revelation, rather, is that this access to the spiritual realm is going to be cut off. They're going to be put on this side of reality, and they're not going to be allowed to go back and hide. So they've got to make a stand, and since they've already been purporting to be aliens, and they've been setting this up for years, this is going to be the scenario.
Yeah,
and this is
absolutely
what will be going on in the world.
Well, I've got to cut you off. I have to cut you off as much as I hate to, because, you know, we could talk for a very long time about this, but we've come to the end of the program, so please
sure.
give
Thank
them a
you
website,
for having me
and we'll talk again. But, go ahead.
All right,
Jordy,
thank
Lee.
You for having me on, Dan.
All right, yeah, thanks for being on, and I'll make sure that your link's out there to your website, and we'll talk again as we've just barely touched this subject. You be blessed, brother. Bye-bye.
Each of us. Bye-bye.
Well, folks, grand deception is these, you know, I don't know, a lot of you, 77%, I'm probably part of my audience is saying, oh, they can't be fallen angels, they're aliens. Well, I don't know what to tell you, folks, but I believe that we're going to find out pretty soon, okay? Anyway, pray about these things. Look them up. Look up the words. You know, don't just trust what we say. But please remember that there is only one God, and He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave His life for repented sins, and He rose after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. He said that would be His signs. Through Him, and only through Him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray about a donation for radio and for the Wichita Mission Church. But I got to get out of here. Lord our God, Father King Universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name, that Father, You would bless and keep them, and that Your face would shine upon them, and that You would be gracious to them and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.